Hi. Thanks for coming over. My name is Oscar Monham. I'm a plant physiologist, and I'll talk a little bit about measurements that could be used for models. Crop models, you want to study crop productivity in grams per meter squared. And this can be estimated from canopy daily carbon gain, which, you know, the number of moles of carbon per meter squared per day that got fixed during photosynthesis. And so we can use this daily carbon gain, 12 grams per mole, you know, some fraction of carbon in the biomass. And you come up with a daily growth rate, and if you sum it all up, you get your biomass that you're going to harvest. And so basically that's how the carbon goes. And so the daily canopy daily net carbon gain is you know, photosynthesis will give you the total carbon that's fixed, you know, during the photo period. And then you got to subtract the carbon that's lost in respiration. And so once you know this, then you can go all the way to biomass. So how do we estimate this daily carbon gain, and could that be useful to models? Well, one way to do it, you can estimate it from measurement or estimate it for gross photosynthesis, and I'll describe what that is, and also the canopy dark respiration. And so let's look at canopy carbon fluxes. So what's going on in the plants? Well, we have all this machinery, you know, and this is the photosynthetic machinery. And then we have all the respiratory machinery. So canopy growth photosynthesis deals with the photosynthetic part, and it's, you know, the carbon fixed during the photo period. And, you know, you can estimate this from biochemical models of photosynthesis like Graham-Farquhar's and many other variations. You can estimate it from radiation use efficiency. Or you can measure it. If you measure net photosynthesis and you knew that you can measure the dark respiration, you can calculate gross photosynthesis. So by one parameter, you can describe this whole complex machinery. Now, for dark respiration, okay, we're basically, during photosynthesis, we are making carbohydrates. So during dark respiration, we oxidize those carbohydrates to generate energy, and so that we can, and building blocks, so we can build the biomass. And that's how, you get biomass accumulation. So some of the processes that are occurring is in the mitochondria, you have aerobic respiration, you have glycolysis, Krebs cycle, and electron transfer rate. So these two parameters are describing, you know, a lot of machinery. And this is done at a canopy level, not at a single leaf, but at a canopy level. Okay, so let's look at cross respiration. Well, it's very difficult to estimate, and several methods have been developed, and you can read, this is a good review paper that has how to model it, all the issues, if you're not familiar with this paper. But there's some schools of thought that you can go into growth and maintenance respiration, individually estimate it. You can also go the nitrogen content, you know, but I'm not gonna go into those. There's a paper, Ryle et al., Annals of Botany, 1976, and this one was pointed by Montes in 1977, you know. Apparently, some C13 measurements were made indicating that dark respiration is proportional to gross photosynthesis. This ratio of dark respiration to P gross is around 0.4, and it's constant. And, you know, that would be a simple way of obtaining dark respiration. So let's explore that. So let's assume it's an empirical relation. You know, the ratio could simplify crop models because, you can always get P growth from biochemical models, RUE, and you have this constant, you get your dark respiration. And this was done in Monti's paper. That's where he defined RUE, the whole relation. He mentions this ratio. And then this is also used by Chowdhury also for doing remote sensing. It helps simplify remote sensing data if you have this capability. So what I'm going to describe is we looked at this ratio. We looked at the effect of light intensity in peppers using a gas exchange system, and then also compare some literature values, see if it holds. So I built a gas exchange system. I'm not going to go into much detail. It's an open gas exchange system. We mix CO2 and we blow it through the chamber. The chamber's at a known flow rate, and it's leaky, and we don't care about the leaks because we calculate the concentration difference between what the plants remove and what you supply times the flow rate divided by the area. That gives you your photosynthetic rate. And, you know, you need a data logger, CO2 sensors, and you got it, and a flow meter, you know, calibrated flow meter. And then we used LED spotlights with white, red, and blue color diodes. Here's a pepper plant, and, you know, you can put your Licor sensor to calibrate, you know, to get the light distribution, because these things are not too homogeneous. This is just some details on the gas exchange system. Here's a data set for wheat germination. We planted the wheat, it germinated, and then you see it growing as the leaf area expands, and then you have day-night cycles. So photosynthesis is going up, but so is dark respiration. You know, this is photosynthesis versus time. So that's what this system is able to do. It has a chamber volume of 58 liters, a very small area, 350 square centimeters, CO2, 1,200 ppm. We use pepper in pots. I went and bought them from Home Depot. So, you know, you don't need to grow them in there. You just bring them in. Water daily. You can have a standpipe and do it automatically, but this is simple. Humidity control, I'm working to improve that, but we have a condensing heat exchanger here, and we keep it at 75%. Anyway, so we had four light levels, 450, 630, 850, 1180. And they're not 1,200 because, it's, you know, that's just the average that we got with, you know, you got to raise and lower the lamps and neutral density filters to change the light level. But so... Okay, so does this ratio vary with light intensity? And so what I did is, you know, we put the pepper plants and we changed the light intensities at a constant CO2 concentration. And I increased the light intensity going from the ambient CO2 to the from the lower light levels to the higher light levels. And this and I'll at least allow a day in between when you take your measurements, because, you know, all the carbon pools need to equilibrate. You know, you can't just, all right, change it today and then tomorrow, and then, you know, you got to let those pools accumulate carbon so you get a kind of realistic. And maybe a day is not enough. Maybe 2 days is better, but, you know, but this is things that you have to keep in mind. So we measure net photosynthesis, and I apologize, you can't hardly see the values here, but what we're showing is here is the lights come on. You get some sort of diurnal closure of the model conductance. Then you shut off the lights. You get dark respiration. You change the light levels. And I'll show this better. But this is net photosynthesis. This is dark respiration. If you add the two, you get gross photosynthesis. So here we have the net photosynthetic rates of those light levels are in blue. The dark respiration are in red. You add them up, you get your gross photosynthesis. You divide this by that, and you get this black line. Okay, that's as a function of light. And so they both peak gross and dark respiration increased, and then the average was around 0.23, and it was kind of flat. So let's see what this means when we look at other data. So this is our study here, and these are the values that we got at the different light levels at this concentration. This is some work I did, and many years ago in 1998, we got the photosynthetic rates, and we can calculate the ratio, and it's right on. This is a study by lettuce and tomato by friends and Bruce Bugby. And what they did was shade avoidance, so they looked at many light levels in both these crops, and you know, you get the values off their curves, and, you know, you get the ratio. And so when you plot it all together, this is the kind of relationship you get, you know. So the mean canopy level was 0.24 for C3 plants. I mean, you know, these are all C3 plants. I'm maybe generalizing too much, but, you know, this is the relationship that we found. And it's independent of light intensity. Is it independent of CO2 concentration? I have one data point here from my work in 1998, and it suggests it might be, but this should be checked out. And upon talking to Bruce Bugbee, he did temperature effects, and it could be independent of temperature as well. So in conclusion, we use a gas exchange system to measure canopy level ratio of respiration to gross photosynthesis, which is, you know, pretty heavy machineries that are going on at the canopy level. We found a constant ratio of 0.24 for several C3 plants. And it's different from what was suggested by Rael and Monteith. And it could be that this was done with leaves. This is another question to ask. Why this difference? And then this ratio was found to be independent of light intensity, and it's dependent on CO2 and maybe temperature needs further study. So from this, I can conclude that maybe using this ratio for estimating canopy respiration may simplify future crop models because, you know, you won't have to do all this extra machinery and work to develop your models. Thank you.
Okay, that was a very nice presentation. We have time for questions.
Okay.
Oscar, I'm just wondering, do you think there's a plant age effect on that relationship?
I didn't look at it, but, the carbon use efficiency is fairly constant as well, you know, and that one is, I guess this would be probably hold for the whole vegetative and before you get senescence, when respiration's decoupled, you know, then things are starting to burn up. I would tend to think it would hold until then.
Why do you think there's a difference from what Rael reports when you did
that? I don't know. Leaves are different than a canopy. You know, a canopy, you have the stems, you have retranslocation, you have the roots. Maybe these there's other processes that are not entirely in the leaf. Maybe I should repeat the questions. Yes.
Another question, McCree. Went through some equations where he counted if there was a factor 2 in there to count for respiration during the day. Because you're measuring apparent daytime carbon exchange. So you do have respiration in your system. And McCree was kind of the, what's happening during the day needs to be added to it as well. So this may work at 0.24 for this, but if you take the daytime respiration, you may need to back up.
Well, this is done assuming that respiration in the dark is the same as in the light.
Did you multiply 24 hours of respiration?
No, this is instantaneous.
See, that's the trick. You
right.
Can do that.
Right.
Okay, this rate going during the day should be almost the same at night. Mm-hmm. And you just took the apparent CO2 exchange during the day.
Right.
Yeah.
The temperature is the same day and night? Is the constant?
Yeah, constant temperature.
So I was just wondering, so that means that respiration has a diurnal pattern, right?
Temperature dependent. So for those respiring parts of the plant, it's probably higher during the day.
Yeah, higher during the day.
Temperature's higher, and the supply may be better. Don't know the exact answer.
But we looked at this fraction is respiration in the dark the same as in the light. That's only for what respiration in the leaves. Okay? So the respiration in the roots, the respiration in the stems and other translocation. That's a different
I've done this for canopies in the field and the respiration during the day covered is about the same as respiration at night. Mm-hmm. Except that if it's really warm it's even higher during the day.
Right.
Sorry, Dennis, I think we need to thank you.
Okay.
So we're going to thank you all.